was recorded for the Dersingham 2000 History Project on the 26th of January 1999. Please can I have your full name?
Eric Henry Cross.
And you're usually known as just Eric?
Eric, yes.
When did you first come to Dersingham?
I was born in Dersingham in 1922.
And?
In the house next to the drift.
Ah, right, not in this house. Next to the drift?
Next to the drift.
Right. And had your family lived here all their lives?
Well, my mother's family lived here all her life. Yes, my mother and my father's family lived in Dersingham all their lives.
So, when you were a little boy, they will have told you things about how Dersingham was even before you were born?
Well, yes, my grandfather told me he used to work on the railway he told me about how he used to walk to Lynn to go to work every morning.
What, walk from Dersingham
walk
to Lynn?
Walk from Dersingham to Lynn to work on the railway and then walk home at night.
Why didn't he go on the train?
Well, there wasn't a train at that particular time.
How long did it take?
Well, as far as I know, there wasn't a train.
However long did it take him?
Well, that I don't know. He never did say how long it took him.
But he must have been up at the crack of dawn.
Yes. Well, that was the case. You get up at dawn, go to work, come home, have your meal and go to bed.
And you say he worked where?
He worked on the railway.
But the railway hadn't at that point come to Dersingham?
Well, that I don't know. I can't say whether it was here or not at that particular time.
Because if it had been, presumably he would have gone on the train.
He would have gone on the train, yes.
So it hadn't come out that far?
No.
Right. Now, also, you were telling me about some of the old buildings that they told you about that are no longer here. Could you just tell us a bit about that?
Well, I can only go on what my aunt had to say about them. Actually, I've shown you a photograph of the old cottages that she told me used to be opposite what is now the Gamekeeper's Lodge. And
yes.
They were eventually knocked down, and Mecklenburg House, which is still there, was built behind them.
So Mecklenburg House was built behind these old cottages?
Behind where the old cottages used to be.
Therefore, they must have been standing in what is now the road.
No, they would be on the edge of the road.
Right. And the old hall was there then?
Oh, yes.
So those old cottages were pulled down before you were born?
They were pulled down before I was born. Or I can't recall them, so they must have been pulled down before 1927.
Right. And you were saying some other houses that were not in?
Well, there used to be some old cottages that stood opposite the Feathers Hotel.
Right.
Next to what we used to call the Emblems. They were, well, my aunt again told me that they were pulled down for a long while before my time.
And so there'd be no photographs in existence of those?
Well, I wouldn't think so.
So unless we can
have... I have seen bits of rubble around there myself that more or less evidence that they used to be there.
Right. Now...
And there was one particular man used to live in one of them, known as Dan Grief. And my aunt has told me that she's seen him outside there. Well, they had no very, very few washing facilities, and you'd see him washing outside with a bowl on a table.
What, washing outside, summer and winter?
Well, in the winter time as well, yes.
Good gracious. Now, you say your family lived in the village. Have you any other members of the family who live in the village?
I have. I have a sister and a brother who are still living in the village.
Right. Now, obviously your childhood was spent in this village, so I want you to think back and tell me as much as you can remember about what life was like for you living in this village when you were a little boy.
Well, my first recollections would be when I was round about 4 or 5, I was supposed to be taken on the common to play on the commons, and And out in the drift, we used to spend a bit of time in the, well, living next door to the drift, we used to spend a bit of time after the tiddlers in the dyke there. But they're all long gone now.
Well, the dyke is gone.
The dyke is still there, but...
Yeah, but the tiddlers are gone.
When the water got polluted there, obviously the tiddlers went.
Yes, yes. So you'd go
and
fishing.
And the drift dyke down to the railway line. Well, you'd find water hens' nests down there, and there used to be quite a few water voles there, which is now almost a, as you know, an endangered species.
Yes, yes. And so you'd actually see them.
Well, we saw them all down there at that particular time.
Now it was quite
but since
a way.
Then, since then the dyke has all been cleaned out, and well, there's nothing living there at all now.
No.
Not in the wildlife line.
And you used to walk all the way down to the water, did you? Down to the sea?
At times we used to go down to the sea, yes. At Easter, I remember at Easter time we used to walk down to what we used to call Dursingham Beach and have a day down there.
Now, Dursingham Beach as such doesn't really exist
no,
now.
No, there isn't a Dursingham Beach. We used to call it Dursingham Beach, but actually it's... Or either Wolford nor Snettisham.
Yes, yes, because it's just mud, Dursingham mud, isn't it?
Well, that is mud, yes.
And so...
But at that time, well, we used to have to follow the sea banks down to the sea, and all the marshes then were grazing marshes, full of cattle.
Yes.
Not growing cereals like they are now.
Right. Yes, and all that was, of course, before...
That was all altered during the war. All the marshes were ploughed up, the concrete roads were put in, and they were used for growing cereals.
Oh, so that concrete road was put in after the war?
During the war.
During
that was put
the
in
war?
During the war.
By the ministry or by the...
That is put in by the ministry, yes. The Ministry of Agriculture. As far as I know, it was put in by the Ministry of Agriculture.
And they needed it... Because they had to feed the country during the wartime.
Well, yes.
And I suppose there was more to be gained from crops than from cattle.
Yes. Well, I assume so, but...
Yes. Now, you can remember before the war, presumably.
I can remember something before the war, yes.
So, what else can you tell me about? You went to school?
Oh yes, I remember. Yes, we all used to walk to school at that time. And, well, I remember walking to school, the Sayers family, I can remember them, they used to do used to do quite a bit of laundry work, mainly for the Sandringham House.
The Sayers family?
The Sayers family.
Right.
I can recall walking past their wash house and being greeted by Mrs. Sayers and her daughter, and seeing the steam going through the through the roof tiles, and they always had a cheery word for us as children who used to when we went to school.
Now, did they do it in great big coppers? Because
they
must have been a
they had a copper. They used to boil the water in a copper and used to do all the washing by hand in these large tin baths.
For the Sandringham.
Most of it was done for Sandringham, yes.
And presumably it was all white, big white sheets.
Well, that I can't really tell you. At that time of life, I wasn't too interested in what they were washing.
Just in the steam coming out. Right.
Yes, I can see that now.
And did you enjoy school?
Yes, I loved going to school, yes. One of the main things I can remember there as well is when we were allowed out to see the R-101 airship when it flew over Sandringham.
Now,
I can't tell you the exact year, but it must have been 35 or 36.
Yes, yes. I mean, had the teachers told you that it was coming, or did it just come?
Well, they knew it was coming, and well, the whole school, all the pupils were let out to see it when it... Well, it more or less passed, from what I can remember, almost directly overhead.
And did it seem huge?
Well, that was, yeah, well, it did seem huge. Those children, and obviously it was huge, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
So that must have been quite an exciting thing for you.
It was, yes, yes.
So when you got home from school, I mean, did you just used to go out to play?
Well, actually during our lunch hour from school, we used to go bird's nesting.
Oh.
Some of us would go over the school wall and up into Sandringham Woods and do a bit of bird's nesting and go home and have a lunch and be back for, in time for school.
But how long was your dinner hour then?
1 hour and a half.
Really?
Yes.
So you had a long, drawn out day. So why was this, did you not think this was cruel?
Cruel?
Yes.
Well, people at that time that wasn't considered to be that cruel. I suppose most boys had an egg collection of all the various birds that they could find in the locality.
And I suppose you compared and tried to get ones that nobody else had got.
Well, we did, yes. And at that particular time, I can never remember seeing a magpie,
really?
A fox, or a hawk.
You didn't see any of those?
No.
Ah.
They were controlled then by, there used to be a lot of keepers on Sandringham Estate at that time.
Yes. Why did they control magpies, for instance?
Well, a magpie is a predator, isn't it? I mean, it's a known fact that they eat other birds' eggs, the young as well. And obviously they ate pheasants' eggs.
Yes. And of course, the pheasant shooting up at Sandringham, presumably, was still very popular.
Oh, that was, yes.
And the royals used to come shooting as they do now.
Oh, yes. Well, more so than they do now. Yes.
Right. Now, did you belong to any clubs or anything?
No, I'm afraid not. I didn't belong to any clubs at all in the village. I'm a bit of a loner, I'm afraid.
I
used to play cricket and football on the common with other lads, but never good enough to play for the village.
Right. And you didn't... Did you go to church or chapel?
I went to church, yes. I was in the church choir for several years. I can't tell you how many.
Now, this would be when you were a lad?
Yes, yes.
So can you remember who was in the choir then and who was the choir master?
The choir master? Well, the organist and choir master was Mr. Rowe. He used to come to the... Well, he'd go through the church. He used to come down on his motorbike sidecar. We'd go to the church service, and on the way home, you'd see him in the coach and horses, or his motorbike sidecar.
And how... Did you practice sort of twice a week?
Once a week, from what I can remember, yes. Choir practice once a week.
And what did you used to sing? Just straight hymns?
Yes, from what I can remember, yes.
You didn't sort of do chorales and
no.
Big long things, and presumably you couldn't read music, could you?
I couldn't read music, no.
So he just played the tune and you...
No, I was only in the choir, I didn't play any instrument.
No, but I mean, how did you learn the tune? Did he play it through on the organ and then you...
Oh, yes, yes.
Since you couldn't read music?
No.
Right. And from pictures I've seen of the choir, it was quite big in those days.
It was big, yes. Yes, there must have been... Oh, it must have been a choir of, I would think, 20 then.
And no girls?
Oh, yes.
Oh,
yes.
It was a mixed choir?
Yes, mixed choir. Yes, there were girls in the choir.
And did you sing in parts? Or was it all just on one note?
Well, I'm not much... I'm not too musically minded, and you're getting a bit technical.
Right, so you didn't belong to anything else?
No.
Now, when you, how old were you when you finished school?
14.
And what did you do then?
I was an apprentice cabinet maker at Queen Mary's Carving School at Sandringham.
Right. What sort of things did you learn there?
Well, I learnt, I learnt cabinet making there.
And what's the difference between cabinet making and just straight carpentry?
Well, cabinet making is making furniture. Carpentry is to do with woodwork connected with houses.
And did you work there for a long time?
I only worked there for 3 years. That was in 1936. I worked there for 3 years, and the war came along, and I ended up in Percival's Aircraft Factory in Luton.
And then you came back after the war?
No, I couldn't survive there as an improver. I had 26 shillings a week and had to pay 23 shillings a week lodgings.
Really?
So I packed it up with the intention of joining the forces. And when I came home, there was a vacancy at Sandringham, a temporary vacancy for a carpenter at Sandringham House. And that's where I spent my time, was there in the carpentry shop at Wolferton, before I was called up for service in the Navy.
Right. Then you were away from the village during the war?
I was away from the village for 4 years.
Right. It seems to me that nearly all the men I've interviewed worked at Sandringham when they were young. So what different trades did the boys from this village do up there?
Well, they worked in all the various departments. There was the gardens, several of them worked in the garden, the carpenter's yard, which included carpenters, bricklayers and painters, the woods department, where they did work in the woods and...
Clearing?
Well, clearing in the woods, and yes. There was the woodyard where they used to saw up the timber.
And you'd not stay there all the time? I mean, once you'd got your trade, you could then go out and get a job locally, could you?
Well, you could do, but there weren't too many jobs locally. Although, at that time in this village, there were... I can recall three builders, builders and jobbing builders. But talking about Sandringham, I can recall at 5 o'clock when, which was not enough time up there, you'd see all the workers coming down the hill on the bicycles. Sometimes you'd see about 30 of them at 5 past 5.
And in the winter, did they have lights on their bicycles? In the winter, did they have lights on their bicycles?
Oh, yes.
Because it's quite a time up to there, isn't it?
Yes. Oh, yes, you could soon get had up there if you hadn't got a light on your bicycle.
Really? Yes.
That was when, of course, we had a local policeman. Not like we are today.
Did the local policeman sort of go round on a bicycle himself?
Oh, yes.
And you could always see him about?
No, you could never see him.
Ah! But what sort of things did he do? I mean, what... Because nowadays they just sit and look at the cars, don't they? But what did the village bobby do then, in the village?
Well, the village bobby had his beat. He had to sort of patrol his beat. And our biggest fear of them was on firework night.
Why?
When you never knew when he was going to catch up with you.
Well, what was he looking for? The wrong sort of fireworks or something?
Well, no, he was looking to see that we didn't let them off where we shouldn't have done.
Ah, so there was only certain areas where they could be... You didn't throw them into people's gardens and things?
Oh, we did, yes. Yes, I'm afraid all the, I don't know exactly what you'd call them, or all the vandalism, with it. There was a little bit of vandalism years ago. Not as bad as it is today, but...
So your idea of vandalism was letting off fireworks?
Well, that type of thing, yes.
So, right.
Talking about fireworks as well. Used to be a dump on the common, well, used to be the village dump on the shut up common.
On the common at the bottom of Heath Road there?
That's right.
The one on the left-hand side? Or the one on the right-hand side?
Looking at it from here on the shut-up common, yes.
Right.
There used to be a dump on there. We used to buy the fireworks from Richard's shop.
Yes.
Take them on the dump and put them in the... Load and put them in the bottles there and blow the bottles up. How we never hurt ourselves, I shall never know.
Good gracious. And were there houses around then, or was did it stretch right down into Heath Road? This house that you live in now was here, but were there those over there?
Oh, they were there, yes. They've always been there in my time.
And were they worried about this annual blowing up of
fire? Well, no. I mean, that's too far away from... That's too far away from the houses for them to get concerned.
Right, yes. Yeah, so that was one of the things you looked forward to.
Well, that was the sort of thing we used to do.
Yes, we wouldn't call it...
I'd say all the youth in my time, they didn't all have halos on the ground.
No, that's right. They were just as naughty, but in a different
in
way.
In different ways, yes.
Yes, yes. They were more innocent, weren't they? They weren't so streetwise as modern boys.
Well, no, but I mean, they wouldn't go around sort of mugging old people or that sort of thing. But as I say, we weren't exactly angels by any means.
Now, what, I mean, did you ever go on trips or anything from the village when you were boys?
No, not a great deal. Well, I suppose there were trips, but I can't recall going on too many.
Right.
Only the Sunday school outings from there.
Now, I believe you showed me a photograph of you going on a Sunday school outing.
No, that's not me. That's far before my time.
Right. Now, what does that photograph show? For example, who organised it?
Well, that I can't tell you. I mean, that must have been... I can't date it, but I would think that would be around about the, probably pre the First World War.
Right. And they went on a cart?
They went by horse and tumbril, yes.
Tumbril?
Yes.
Yes. And where did they take them to?
No, when I was saying, no, I made a mistake there. It's not a tumbril, a wagon.
A wagon? And was this all the way to Hunstanton?
No, that would be Snettisham Beach.
Right. But I suppose to children who had no way of getting that far, this was a long way.
Yes.
To Snettisham.
Yes, that would be a long way.
And the adults...
By horse, yes.
It would take half the day to get there, wouldn't it?
Well, I would have thought so, yes.
And that was the treat. So what was your little boy's treat of the year?
My little boy's treat of the year?
Mm.
Well, that was we're going to Hunstanton. In my time, we used to go to Hunstanton on the train. Yes, that was our Sunday school outing.
So the whole lot of you would fill the train?
Yes, we'd all go by train, yes.
And just play on the beach and come home?
That's right, yes. Well, we had a few pence to spend. We were given a few pence by our parents to spend. Although when you talk about a few pence then, I suppose that'd amount to
quite a
pound or two now.
I mean, what sort of pocket money did you have as a little boy?
As a little boy, my first, the first pocket money I can recall having was a halfpenny a week on a Saturday morning.
A halfpenny?
Which we used to immediately take round and spend on sweets.
Yes. Well, I suppose there wasn't a lot to save for, was there, in those days?
Well, when you think about halfpenny, that wasn't worth saving,
no,
really, was it?
No, so you just go and buy sweets.
Yes.
And what sort of sweets could you get with a halfpenny?
Well, you could get what we used to call bulldozers and that type of thing.
Yeah, gobstopper type.
Gobstoppers, yes.
Right. Now, what would you say is the worst thing you can remember in this village?
The worst thing, in my opinion, the worst thing was the doing away with the railway.
Really?
The railway.
Now, why? So
I know the floats were a disaster, but... really, they didn't really affect Dursingham to that extent, or the inhabitants of Dursingham.
No.
I know they were a disaster as far as the people living down on Snettisham Beach were concerned, but it didn't really affect this village to that extent.
No, because we are quite...
Only the marshes, the marshes were flooded, I know.
But the railway, you think, really was a disaster?
Yes, I
now
mean,
why?
Even now, look what an asset the railway would be today. With all the congestion you've got on the roads now,
yes.
Which is definitely going to get worse. But now, once it's gone, as far as I can see, that will never come back again.
Did you use the railway quite a bit?
Oh, I used to use the railway to go to Lynn, yes.
Yeah. And when did you first, I mean, how did you first know that it was going to be closed? Was it all in the press?
Oh, that was in the press, yes.
And did the villagers object?
Well, I suppose they objected. That was during, well, obviously, you know, that was during Beeching time, wasn't it?
Yes. Why did Beeching do this? Was it because it wasn't paying?
Well, actually, that I suppose it wasn't viable. Financially, it wasn't viable at the time.
Because people...
But when you look, actually, the railway at that time, well, was a fair distance away from the village.
Yes, I mean, certainly for living up this end of the village,
yes.
It was a fair walk,
yes,
wasn't it?
Yes, it was. But now with all the property that's adjacent to the railway,
yes.
There's no doubt about that would have, well, in my opinion, that would have been an asset to have kept it.
Yes, yes, it would. And it was an asset to Hans Stanton, of course, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yes.
I mean, Hans Stanton was almost developed because of the railway link,
yes.
Wasn't it? Right.
When you think about the railway, I can remember on the Sundays during the summertime, and we used to go and watch the excursion trains go past.
Well, now what do you
up
mean?
In the bottom of the drift.
Now, what do you mean by the excursion trains?
Well, they were day trippers, excursion trains from the Midlands.
Really?
Sometimes you'd get six or seven of them go through, well, at 5 minute intervals.
And they
I'm talking about before the war now.
Really? And they had come from, like, Birmingham and...
Birmingham, Leicester and those places.
Now, how would they get to here? I mean, where was the link?
Well, King's Lynn.
And was there a line then from King's Lynn through to Peterborough?
Yes.
Right. So you didn't have this having to go to Ely?
No.
There was a line?
There was a line, yeah. There was a direct link at that time. Peterborough to King's Lynn.
Now where did it run? Because I can never remember. Whereabouts did it go through King's Lynn?
Well, I can't exactly tell you where it used to go. There.
But it would have come through the middle of the town now, wouldn't it? If you think about it.
Oh, what do you mean?
The rail line.
What you're talking about, the link from...
From Peterborough to Lynn. That would have brought all these Midlands people.
I don't know. I can't remember whether that was connected with South Lynn Station or not at the time.
South Lynn Station. Yes.
Yes.
Right. So you'd stand and see all these trains full of people coming
That's
down
right,
Stanton
yes.
for a day trip.
Well, they'd come... Obviously, they'd come early in the morning, but...
Yeah.
We used to normally go back and watch them go, watch the trains go through it. No, this was from the bottom of the drift.
Right. So, I mean, it was terrific for Hans Stanton. No wonder it became... Because then they turned it from old Hans Stanton into new Hans Stanton, didn't they?
That's yes, well, there again, you're getting back before my time.
Really?
Talking about that.
Right, yes. So you're sorry about the railway. Now, what would you say, apart from that, are the biggest changes you've seen over your lifetime here?
Well, the biggest changes I've seen is before the war, I can recall when we first had when Pope Walter came to the village.
piped water.
1930. Oh, yes, before that we used to have to, well, obviously draw water from wells.
And?
We never had a well. We had to go over the road and pump it up from my grandfather's well.
So did individual houses have wells?
No.
They were just around the village, were they, at main?
Well, there are various places where there were wells. One of the main ones was at the Albert Victor, the old pub, which is now gone.
Right. And it was in the garden of the Albert Victor?
That was round the back of the Albert Victor, yes.
And could anybody go? I mean, you didn't have to apply for it or
I can't recall anybody having to apply for it, but several of the occupants in Lynn Road, or the Kings Lynn end of Lynn Road, used to go there for the water.
Now, when you think
about... Used to have two buckets. Used to have a yoke on the shoulders and two buckets.
Really? And the mothers and fathers both?
Most of the men used to go and get the water.
Now, when you think how much water is used by a family, however many times a day did they have to go and collect
water? Well, they didn't. I suppose you've got to say we were a bit dirty in those days. We had to reuse the water different to what people do now.
So you, like, sharing a bath?
Oh, sharing a bath, yes. I recall in my time there were 6 of us in the family. Well, 5 of us who lived at home. Perhaps 3 of us would have to go through the same bath water.
And how often? A week?
Only once a week.
Once a week,
yes.
And you shared the water. I bet it was black by the end. So, I mean, how did this affect the mothers with the washing? If every bit of water had to be carried from a well? I mean, did the mothers not wash things very often?
Actually, when you say that, mothers with children seem to be washing every day.
And yet they'd have to go and get the water first?
Oh, yes.
And then where would they hot it up?
Well, we used to have a copper. Most people had a copper. They either had a copper in the house or a copper house. We used to boil the water with, most copper fires were made up out of all the old rubbish you were throwing.
Really? You just put underneath the copper?
Yes.
Bits of old stick and...
That's right, yes. The copper used to be bricked in. It used to be cast iron copper bricked in and with a furnace underneath it.
And of course, the washing took all day, really, didn't it?
It took a good part of the day, yes.
But this thought of bringing every bit of water, and what about the drinking water side of it? I mean, was it good water to drink?
Well, I can't really say. I doubt whether a lot of it passed today.
But it just came straight up from the ground.
Oh, yes.
And in a time of drought, you know, when you had a long dry summer, did the water get very scarce?
Well, I can't recall. I can never recall the pump of the Albert Victor
running out.
No.
So these old wells... Presumably, when the water, you saw the water coming to the village. Now, you mean laying the pipes?
I'm talking about the mains water, yes.
Yes. What happened to all these old wells?
Well, a lot of them got filled up and, they were just filled up and done away with.
Because I suppose they thought they were perhaps dangerous?
Well, so they could be dangerous, yes. The top would decay and...
And then perhaps children would play around them and... fall in?
Yes.
You've never remembered anybody ever falling in one?
No. I can remember somebody drowning in one in the village, but committing suicide in it.
Really?
I'm not going into that.
Oh dear, right. Anything else in the way of changes you've said about the railway and the water supply?
Electric light, I can recall electricity coming into the village.
Now, was that after the war?
No, that was pre-war.
Right.
I think it was 1930, either 5 or 6.
So, before that time, what did you do? Oil lamps?
Oil lamps, yes. Yes, we had oil lamps and candles previous to that time.
And the cooking?
The cooking was done on a cast iron range. cast iron cooking range.
On the stove?
On the stove, yes.
And everybody had a stove in the kitchen?
In the kitchen, yes. But most people did, yes.
Yeah. I mean, how did you feel? Can you remember when you first got electricity in your house?
Yes, I can remember turning the switch on and thinking how marvellous it was.
Must have been, wasn't it? Because you would be a little lad then.
I was a lad then, yes.
Yes. Yes. Because the old lamps were not very good for eyesight, were they?
No, they weren't. They were a lot better than a candle, though. Or an oil lamp.
Yes. Because, of course, previous to... I mean, your dad and your granddad would have used candles.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Can you remember anything... can you remember your granddad?
I can remember my grandfather, yes. One of them.
Can you remember anything he told you about the village? That you would have surprised you when you were a little boy?
No, I can't remember. I can't remember. My grandfather was a bit of a sage, but he'd always tell you what the weather was going to be like.
How did he know? Did he use seaweed?
I don't. Well, that's right, yes. He used to study the phases of the moon and all that type of thing.
Really? Yes. Well, of course, they didn't have convenient weather forecasts in those days. And it must have made a difference to my man working on the land, what the weather was, much more so than perhaps today.
Yes.
Right. Now, what about the way the village has grown up?
Well, since the war, I mean... drawn out of all proportion, really. Well, I say out of all proportion. I never visualised it would grow like it has.
No, no.
And to be quite honest with you, in my opinion, I hope it slows, that the growth slows down a bit now, but whether it will or not, I don't know.
Well, I've discussed this with lots of people. There is really nowhere else for it to go, if you think about it.
Well, there isn't, no. Well, you say there isn't. There is if there's no way, nowhere else for it to go unless Sandring Estate sells off some land, which is very unlikely, I suppose.
Yes. And that would be which area?
Well, I suppose I'm saying that would be in the Dogtill area, wouldn't it?
Yes.
The Dogtill or in the church area.
Behind that way, out...
with the drill hall, during the drill hall and the church.
Yes, but is that land not damp?
Well, that might be damp, but I would think you would still build on it if...
And what about the land going up from the church along towards Dodds Hill? Nice big fields there, do you think? Because that's all their land. Would that?
Oh, yes.
Do you think that would be a good place for building?
Well, that could be built on, yes. That could be, but we're... ever will be or not, I don't know.
They would need to be short of money, would they not?
I would think so, yes.
Yes.
Which is very unlikely.
So you really think that hopefully we've nearly come to the end of the building now?
Well, I think the village has grown rather too fast.
Yes. Yes.
And in my youth, I more or less, well, I could say I knew 90% of people in the village, knew where they lived.
Yes.
And we'd pass the time of day with each other.
Yeah.
But I'm afraid it's got nowhere. Well, I myself personally have spoken to several people and they more or less walk past you as though you're walking down the street in London.
Yes, yes. Were you aware that there was like two sides to the village in those days? Other people have told me that the people who lived that side of the village were almost as if it was a separate village from the people who lived this side.
Well, in a way, yes. Yes. I mean, actually, us who lived this end of years to come, and we were called the Windbush Jumpers.
The what?
The Windbush Jumpers.
Why? Why was that?
Well, because we used to spend a lot of time on the common. I mean, actually, Gorse, there no, well...
And
North,
Windbush was Gorse?
Windbush is Gorse, yes.
Right.
Yes.
And of course, I suppose you played there because there was so much space.
Well, there was a lot of space. There was space enough for us to play cricket and football on the top of on the open common.
Right. Yes. Now, if you this lived Batten, so where did the people who lived the other end of the village play? The lads there.
Well, they played on what was the recreation ground or the pastures.
On the pastures.
What is now the recreation ground.
Right. And what about the people who lived at the far end, going out towards Hunstanton? Did they play in the woods there?
Well, I'm afraid I can't tell you.
No, you presumably, even though those children would come all the way into school the same.
Yeah, when you say all the way...
From that far end of Dursingham, out towards the Hunstanton end of Dursingham. They'd still have to come all the way up to this
school.
When
you talk about that end, that's only been developed since, since the war, a lot of it, and just pre-war, hasn't it?
You're saying that so there weren't many children out that way to come?
Well, that I wouldn't know, but I mean, all that, I can remember that area, Park Hill,
yes.
All Park Hill being developed.
You can remember that?
I can remember that.
Right.
And I can remember, the house I lived in at the Drift, there was nothing between that and the old Dun Cow at that particular time on either side.
Right.
That was agricultural land and pasture land.
So when they built those old bungalows going up Park Hill, did they seem very modern to you?
Well, several of those were built just before the war.
Right.
And and the other, I would think the other half were built after the war. Well, I can't really say that. Well, I suppose they were modern at that time, yes.
I mean, you were a builder, weren't you, eventually?
Yes.
And did you build any of the properties in the village?
No, I haven't built many properties in the village, no. I built Fur Inglethorpe, and I built one or two in the village, three or four in the village.
And at that time, when you were just building a few, who was the main developer then?
Well, there was Mr. Chambers. He didn't build many, he'd only probably build two a year.
Right.
Mr. Townsend, who built most of Park Hill. Townsend and Ransom.
Right.
And that was about all, as far as I can remember.
So the big surge in building came with what? Centre Vale?
Centre Vale, yes.
Which yes. is... when that must have been about 35 years ago, was it?
Yes, that would be.
And then the Valley Rise development?
Valley Rise, yes.
And what about White Horse?
White Horse?
Yes.
White Horse are all council houses, aren't they?
Ah, now when were they built?
They were built just after the war. Actually, I worked on them as a carpenter.
Yeah.
1947.
And was the White Horse pub then open?
That was open then, yes.
Ah.
Because I have been in the White, not much of a drinker, but I have been in the White Horse at that particular time.
So the White Horse was open as a pub when they built the development behind it?
Oh, yes, yes.
But that was built by the council, and the White Horse was privately owned?
Oh, well, that was owned by a brewery. I can't remember which brewery now, but that was a toad house. I can't remember whether it was Stewart and Patterson's or Bullard's was another. I believe it was Bullard's, but we can't be certain about that.
Right, so there were quite a few pubs around, weren't there?
There were five pubs in the village prior to the war.
And did people go to the one in their area more than anything else?
Well, no.
Or did they go all round them all?
They used to go round them all, yes. They were all favoured at different times for some reason. I suppose some of it was due to the change of landlord. But
You mean someone better than gods than others?
Well, I suppose so. I don't really, I suppose that was. But one probably five of perhaps a year, and then they'd start drifting away or another one.
Oh, how interesting.
Some reason.
Right. And did, like, some had bowls clubs and things, didn't they?
Oh, yes, yes. The Albert Victor had a bowls club.
Right. So that would draw all the people who were interested in bowls?
Could do, yes.
Yeah.
The coach and horses had a bowls club.